How can we achieve success in mediation processes and sustainable peacebuilding within the MENA region today? Pathways to Hope is a project at the AUC School of Global Affairs and Public Policy, with support from the Ford Foundation, that is working hard to find these answers. Speaking with us today are Dr. Ahmed Morsi, the project's senior advisor, and Dr. Ibrahim Awad, the project PI. Hello, Dr. Morsi. Could you tell us a little bit more about how the project is connecting researchers and practitioners?
One of the main things that we have been doing is engaging a lot of these individuals into two working groups, one that focuses on regional international mediation and engagement in these crises, and the other is more in looking towards the internal dynamics, so everyday life and humanitarian intervention within some of these conflicts. The main outputs that we're hoping to get out of this project, in addition to an in-person conference that will take place in June in Cairo, there are other outputs that I think will be exciting. Two special issues are planned with contributions from different individuals who have participated in the project. The first is coming out soon with the Cairo Review.
And from the initial phases of this project, what has been the biggest lesson that stands out to you?
So among the many different things that we have had so far in the two working groups and the engagements that we have had in the conversations is that there is this gap between what people live through on a daily life and what some of the politicians and the high-level diplomacy and engagement is thinking about. While this is not new or novel revelation, I think we're seeing it more and more clear, especially that the conflicts and the crises that we have been discussing have been ongoing for several years. Some of them have been there for over a decade. And I think it entrenches some of these daily life hurdles and challenges, and people kind of get used to having to navigate some of these difficulties, while the rest of the world or the rest of the interested parties in these conflicts, or even the conflicting and belligerent parties in these conflicts, are not really doing much to alleviate some of these sufferings and some of these hardships that people go through. The other thing that I would bring to the attention based on the conversations as well is how much and how many participants, whether it's states, it's non-state actors, it's international organizations, mediation groups that have been engaged in a lot of these conflicts with really no big outcomes in the sense of conflict resolution and peace building. And it seems that there is this continuity in terms of conflict management, in the sense that most of these organizations and states are engaged in a process that tries to minimize the conflict or keep it within the border of the country that is going through the conflict and the crisis, rather than really resolving it, because it seems that everyone is looking for some sort of a deal rather than engaging directly with giving concessions and seeking diplomatic and peaceful resolution to a lot of these crises that have a lot of underlying factors that have been not dealt with for decades and decades.
And how do you think that this project helps resolve that problem?
So a couple of things that are interesting and exciting about this project, despite how it's discussing and engaging in very difficult questions and very tough situations with regards to the conflicts in the region. One is having outputs that are written by individuals who have lived through, have experienced, have engaged with others in attempting to resolve and find peaceful mechanisms that can actually help resolve these conflicts. So I think this is this type of special issues that the Cairo Review with the project are trying to bring out will be useful in that sense, highlighting voices, highlighting experiences that otherwise might not have been captured and understood. So that in of itself is useful in the sense of increasing voices from the region and people who have been living through this rather than others, particularly non-citizens or non-regional experts who have been writing about some of these conflicts for years and decades. The other thing is through bringing these two different working groups, while they are separate, they will come together in person in Cairo. And this will also be a way to bring those who work on the ground on a day-to-day kind of business to push against some of the structural conditions and challenges that they have to deal with to seek education, healthcare, go to work, or simply get access to food and services. With those who are working on a high level, high-stake diplomacy kind of practitioner individuals. And I think having these two different groups and two different parties, if you will, together in the same room and exchanging about the same crisis or the same conflict, I think is a useful exercise as well. And finally, we hope that the project and the individuals and the organizations also that they, some of them represent, who have participated through the working groups and the conference will continue to work, or at least will work together or build some sort of expand their networks and engagement. And hopefully these types of lessons learned and discussions can contribute to better outputs and outcomes in the future. While we're not in the mediation business ourselves as researchers or scholars, but we hope that at least by spotlighting some of these challenges and opportunities and engagements, then we are providing some pathways for others to learn and to use such experiences to resolve some of the conflicts that are surrounding us.
Thank you, Dr. Morsi. Now we'll hear a little bit more from Dr. Awad. Hello, Dr. Awad. I hope you're doing well. Can you tell me a little bit more about why this project was created?
There was a need because the different conflicts that the region witnessed in the last decade or decade and a half, in most cases, to bring about peace, to mediate between parties, resort was made to international efforts. Resort was made to the United Nations and to other non-governmental organizations that also became active in peacemaking and mediation. And this was to a great extent because of the absence of specialized, trained institutions and individuals that can act between parties to conflicts. In the international architecture, if you look at the United Nations Charter, regional efforts should be exerted first, and when regional efforts fail, you resort to the international system. The system put in place by the United Nations. In fact, what happened in many cases is that resort was made first to the international architecture of peacemaking, including mediation, international architecture, governmental, intergovernmental, if you wish, that the United Nations and other international regional organizations represent, but not to the regional or the possible regional institutions and individuals that can act in peacemaking and mediation. This absence, I think, prompted the thinking of developing such resources in the region for the region. This does not mean excluding international efforts or international institutions, but it means resorting first to the region, to region resources, resources that are familiar with the parties to the conflicts, to the origin of the conflicts, and to the political culture of the region.
Today, there have been four workshops that have taken place within the context of this project and its teams. Could you tell me a little bit more about how these projects came about?
Four workshops took place. Two working groups. We set up two working groups. One for discussing the settlement of the conflicts in Sudan, in Yemen, in Syria, in India. And the other one was about the mediation that took place, that needs to take place during conflicts, aimed at ensuring that populations can live, can survive, can meet parts of their needs at least. Obviously, in times of conflict, the populations will not be able to meet all their needs. This is the consequence of conflict. Otherwise, there would be no conflict, in fact. But people need to eat, and in order to eat, they need to grow vegetables, fruits. They need to cater for their cattle. They need to ensure that there is potable water. They need to ensure that there is a minimum of health care. The first thing I said was about the conflict in general. How do you ensure that, or how do you work, progress towards a settlement? Settlements that have been elusive so far. But maybe because of lack of credible efforts by trained resources. I said maybe because I'm aware that this is not the only factor that will have impact, that will ensure that a settlement is reached. It's not only that you have very capable mediators. At times, you have very capable mediators, but the conflict is at stages where it cannot be mediated yet, or you have a fragmentation of the conflict. You have too many parties to the conflict.
And in having these discussions, what kind of experts were you bringing into the workshops?
You know, we brought in people and institutions that have been active in action that fits under these two working groups. Some institutions have tried to discuss and have tried to bring together the parties to conflicts, starting by regional or individuals from the region that acted individually or acted within non-governmental organizations, the so-called track two actors, and even from the United Nations itself. So some people have had experience and have met with problems, and they know what the problems are. Some of them know a set of problems, others know another set of problems. And of course, all of this, you know, when it comes to mediating conflicts, there is literature also that identifies what the problems are. Such as, for instance, I mentioned a few minutes ago, the fragmentation of conflicts, the multiplication of parties to the conflict, the conflicts that go beyond borders, that become regionalized. We know that the fragmentation and multiplication of parties makes it difficult to identify who will take part in meetings to discuss the conflict and the different areas of the conflict, the agendas, to draw up an agenda for a mediation meeting. What you put first and what you put last. And we hope that what we came out with in the discussions will be helpful for the project, for us all, when we go to the final conferences. That would be, I was going to say, the crowning of the project, but the ending of the project, if you wish. I think that what we came out with can help us have productive discussions at the conference that is aimed at being held in June. Again, this will not be the end of the effort. I am not pretending that we will have reached what is necessary for regional peacemaking efforts and regional mediation efforts to prosper and to be effective and efficient. But I think we have made a good stride. We would have advanced. And either the American University in Cairo or another institution can take it from there, or maybe a number of institutions together can take it from there and build on what we would have achieved.
Thank you very much, Dr. Awad. For more information on the project and deeper insights into mediation processes, look out for the special issue of the Pathways to Hope project, published through the Cairo Review, out now. You can access all the essays online at www.thecairoreview.com. Additionally, the Pathways to Hope project will be hosting a regional conference in early June at the American University in Cairo. Thanks for listening. Check out more at the Cairo Review of Global Affairs.